Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I am Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. In our 841st day together in the Word of God, we come to Job 39. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful book of Job, for the power and the glory that you display, and for the comfort it offers to us in a very unusual way. But the comfort it offers to us in a strong way when we are facing difficulty, challenges, things we just don't understand. Help us to receive that comfort by faith and glorify you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Do you observe the calving of the does? Can you number the months that they fulfill? And do you know the time when they give birth, when they crouch, bring forth their offspring, and are delivered of their young? Their young ones become strong. They grow up in the open. They go out and do not return to them. Who has let the wild donkey go free? Who has loosed the bonds of the swift donkey? To whom I have given the arid plain for his home, and the salt land for his dwelling place. He scorns the tumult of the city. He hears not the shouts of the driver. He ranges the mountains as his pasture, and he searches after every green thing. Is the wild ox willing to serve you? Will he spend the night at your manger? Can you bind him in the furrow with ropes? Or will he harrow the valleys after you? Will you depend on him because his strength is great? And will you leave to him your labor? Do you have faith in him that he will return your grain and gather it to your threshing floor? The wings of the ostrich wave proudly, but are they the pinions and plumage of love? For she leads her eggs to the earth and lets them be warmed on the ground, forgetting that a foot may crush them and that the wild beast may trample them. She deals cruelly with her young as if they were not hers. Though her labor be in vain, yet she has no fear, because God has made her forget wisdom and given her no share in understanding. When she rouses herself to flee, she laughs at the horse and his rider. Do you give the horse his might? Do you clothe his neck with a mane? Do you make him leap like the locust? His majestic snorting is terrifying. He paws in the valley and exults in his strength. He goes out to meet the weapons. He laughs at fear and is not dismayed. He does not turn back from the sword. Upon him rattle the quiver, the flashing spear, and the javelin. With fierceness and rage he swallows the ground. He cannot stand still at the sound of the trumpet. When the trumpet sounds, he says, "Aha!" He smells the battle from afar, the thunder of the captains and the shouting. Is it by your understanding that the hawk soars and spreads his wings toward the south? Is it at your command that the eagle mounts up and makes his nest on high? On the rock he dwells and makes his home, on the rocky crag and stronghold. From there he spies out the prey. His eyes behold it from far away. His young ones suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is he. That is Job 39. So, in the first part of God's response to Job, in Job 38, God had focused mostly on the large motions of the heavenly bodies and of the patterns of weather and the lightnings and the stars and all those kinds of things. Now he gets very personal about the animals. And he started moving in this direction at the end of chapter 38. Can you hunt the prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of the young lions? Can you hunt the prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in their thicket? Who provides for the raven its prey when its young ones cry to God for help and wander about for lack of food? So here he's already starting to set us up for the idea that not only is God majestic and powerful, God is saying not only does he, you know, control the weather patterns and the lightning and the stars, and not only does he uphold the very earth itself and the whole universe, but he cares for each of the animals uniquely and differently. God is great, God is majestic, God is transcendent, God is powerful, but God is also very involved in his creation. I was listening to a sermon earlier today, actually, and the pastor was pointing out that Christianity is unique among the world religions in having a God who is transcendent, that is, above and beyond his creation, but also immanent, also directly involved with and committed to the care of his creation. If you look at a religion like Islam or Orthodox Judaism, even, there's an idea of the transcendence of God, and there's an idea of God speaking to man and commanding, but there's not this idea of the intimate involvement. That is biblical Christianity. And even Orthodox Judaism, even though they have an Old Testament, they've lost this idea of God's intimate involvement because they never received Emmanuel, God with us, God made flesh. And then on the other side, you have the idea of a God who is immanent, a God who's in us and who's in nature and who's with us, but he's not transcendent. He's not really sovereignly ruling over all. He's just in it with us. But Christianity, biblical Christianity, has this idea that God is both transcendent and immanent. He's both great and far above and beyond his creation, and he's also involved with and committed to and close to his creation. That is the God we know, Yahweh, the great I Am, the Lord God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is the God who speaks here in Job 39. And he talks about mountain goats and does, and he talks about the wild donkey. And God has a place for all kinds of animals within his creation. And so he assigns places like wild donkeys. They roam these arid plains and these salt lands. That's not a place where a lot of other animals would want to live, but that's a place where God has given to the wild donkey. And he's ranging over the mountains, and he's looking. He's able to find anything green whatsoever, and he can eat it. So, you know, even like thorns and thistles and scrub brush and things like that, he'll just go and he'll find it and he'll eat it. But that's not something that man is capable of even understanding or of providing. So man can't provide for the animals of creation like that, but neither is man able to tame some of the wilder creation. This wild ox. Now we have cows, of course, cattle that we've domesticated, but this wild ox is very strong and very powerful, but apparently just about impossible to tame. He's not going to stay where you put him because he's too wild and too strong and too powerful to be kept in that way. And then he even brings in the ostrich. So there are odd animals, like the ostrich, this giant bird that can outrun a horse, but doesn't have much sense. God hasn't given her a share in understanding. God has made her forget wisdom. So she lays her eggs on the ground and doesn't even care for them. A foot can step on them, but she doesn't care. But just try to catch her, and you'll see that she is faster than the horse and its rider. And so then he gets into horses, and he talks about the bravery of battle horses. Think about battle horses and how they charge into the battle. They charge toward the spears and the swords of the enemy, and they're not afraid of its fierceness and its rage. And God gives them that. God is in control of all of that. God is in control of the soaring of the hawk and the eagle. God rules over all of his creation, and he has a place and a time for everything, and he's got attributes for different animals that are keenly suited for their particular needs. So, for example, the eagle, it can spy out prey from far away. An eagle can be way up in the sky, and it can see a little field mouse rustling in the grass, and then it can descend so quickly onto that mouse that that mouse can't get away in time. And so it's just amazing how God has created all these things. And what's the point? The point of it is, how can we begin to understand the mind of God, how God thinks, why God does what he does, if we can't even begin to really understand the smallest and simplest parts of his creation? If the way of a hawk or an eagle, or the way of an ostrich or a battle horse, or the way of a wild ox puzzles us, and we're left wondering, why would they do that? How can they do that? How is that possible? And that's just the smallest bits of God's creation. How much more is the mind of God himself so far above and beyond our comprehension? And so the only thing we can do is to stand in awe of him. Let's pray. Father, you are so great beyond our comprehension. You're great beyond our imagination. You're great in every possible way of being great. So help us to stand in awe of you. Help us to worship you. Help us to trust you that you know better than we do. Certainly you know far better than we do. Help us to live that way, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God's going to continue talking tomorrow as we go into Job chapter 40, and we'll listen for that then. Hope you have a blessed day in the Lord.